Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We are in season five, and season five, as was the case in season two, season three, and season four, presented by Hooters. And Hooters for this fantasy football draft season is encouraging you to do Hooters takeout for your fantasy draft purposes, whether you are getting together in a comfortable setting with all owners of the league, drafting online or offline, or you are all drafting isolated from another, perhaps the most convenient way to do it, even independent of COVID-19 circumstances. But Hooters encourages you to still have that taste of the Hooters restaurants during your fantasy draft. And with watching maybe some games from home in week one of the NFL season, starting with the Thursday nighter between the Texans and the Chiefs, consider Hooters takeout for those purposes as well. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I welcome scoring setting questions, further questions. I've done everything I could this year to convince you to modify lineups, modify scoring settings. Don't play outdated fantasy football with a mandatory tight end. And modernize some scoring settings. Don't give away points for nothing, which is basically PPR. It is a point for nothing system that is antiquated, that was created 30 years ago, to balance out all these bell cow superstar running backs. They don't exist anymore in the National Football League. Modernize your fantasy football league, lineups, scoring. Listen to all the previous podcasts where I've talked about all of this, and I'll answer more of your questions personally at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Please do not ask me to answer fantasy questions on my social media platforms. The email is there for you. If you're unwilling to send me an email, well, that's the avenue I give you, because I can talk to you one-on-one that way. And I've been doing it for 3+ years, answering every single email. I do encourage you to follow me on social media at ToddWright2020 on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. I do everything on one page, and I will never ask you to like another page. That's annoying to me. I'm not a hypocrite, so I will never ask you to do it. Jumping right into my personal league, with so many good friends, we actually expanded from 10 teams to 12 teams this year, because last year we lost an owner who simply had a conflict on the designated day and time of the draft. He actually moved into a podcast league for a year. Then this year wanted to come back to the Foundation League, was able to draft location, date, and time of everyone else. Who was I to say no? So we added a team since everybody was on board and everybody really wanted to play. So my Foundation League, which has been 10 teams by design for the last 5 years, expanded to 12 teams this year. We keep it very simple. It's one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, the wide receiver slash tight end flex. There is no mandatory tight end. In the Foundation League, we are a yardage-based league, no PPR. You get points for your players actually being productive on the field, not simply for touching the ball. That's my theory on PPR. It's a point for nothing. We've modified our kicker scoring, and we do not have DST. We did a vote on whether or not to bring back defense special teams, but there was really no way around the stupid fluke touchdown that happens once, twice, maybe three times in a season, where a team that is down a score late in a game on the field gets very desperate and starts running hook and laterals or throwing the ball backwards 10, 15 yards, 20 yards, and it results in a touchdown for the other team. that doesn't hurt that team on the field in that game, but it significantly affects fantasy football, and it affects the Vegas spread and the Vegas total. So we eliminated DST, and despite me offering to bring it back in a modified format in a way to eliminate the fluke touchdown, where I was just going to eliminate all defensive and special teams touchdowns, you would just get points for your defense in how many they allowed in a particular game, and you'd still get points for sacks, interceptions, and fumble recoveries. We decided just to leave it out altogether. So the fluke touchdown that ends games in a stupid fashion and piles on doesn't exist in our fantasy football league. So it was a 12-team standards, as I call it, Todd Wright modified standard scoring league, and here's how the early rounds of the draft went. McCaffrey, Barkley, Cook, Mahomes went 4, followed by Elliott. I had the 6th position in the draft and went Derrick Henry in that slot. That was followed by Kamara, then Chubb, then Sanders, then Thomas was the first wide receiver selected, followed immediately by Devontae Adams, and Josh Jacobs went 12. Not a lot of difference from last year. I'm looking at my draft board from the Foundation League last year. In a 10-team league, across the board, just count the running backs, it went Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara, Hopkins, Chubb. So Chubb actually went higher last year than he went this year, even though he had a very productive year last year on a bad Browns team. Then Le'Veon Bell, we'll get to him. David Johnson, we'll get to him. Devontae Adams, Julio Jones went in the first round, and Michael Thomas. So actually last year we had, in the Foundation League, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 wide receivers go in the first round, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the first 7 picks were running backs. Looking at this year's first round, it was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of the first 9 picks were running backs, and Mahomes did go 4th overall. And that was my Todd Wright Tour Hall of Famer, 30-year broadcaster for the CBS affiliate in Tampa Bay, the great Dave Wirth, who took Mahomes. Dave had his own draft with some of his former Channel 10 guys earlier in the day, and I asked Dave where Mahomes went in that draft. He said 5, and then Dave took him at 4 in our draft. So don't be surprised if Mahomes goes in the first round of some of your drafts. I know in the past this has been exclusively like Aaron Rodgers territory to go in the first or second round, but now it's where the all-around quarterbacks are in Mahomes, and we'll get to last year's MVP in Lamar Jackson. Second round, snaking back the other way, Hopkins. I sense Hopkins falling out of the first round just because he's changing teams, and he's going to a less experienced quarterback and a sort of a coach we just don't know what to make of, even after 1 year in the National Football League in Cliff Kingsbury. So Hopkins goes to start round 2 in our draft, and I sense from analyzing data of thousands of mock drafts via Fantasy Football Calculator how Hopkins has been someone that has been more of a second-round play this year than a first-round play. Has nothing to do. He was terrific last year. I owned him last year. But it's just that change in teams factor that after a while, when you're an experienced fantasy football player, it scares you off. It scared some people off Le'Veon Bell last year, and rightfully so. Tyreek Hill was the second wide receiver picked in round 2. Then Lamar Jackson went. So Jackson went 15th overall in our draft. That was followed by Chris Godwin. So over a stretch of from the 10th overall pick to the 12, 13, 15, to the 16th overall pick, we had 5 wide receivers go. Thomas, Adams, Hopkins, Hill, Godwin. Now remember, I live in Tampa Bay, so there's a bit of a regional bias there as it relates to the Bucs. But if you owned Godwin last year, you loved what he gave you, and you have to feel good about what he can give you this year with an upgrade, albeit an older quarterback in Tom Brady. After Godwin, Kenyon Drake went 5 in the second round. Travis Kelce. Remember, we are not mandatory tight end. You play it at a wide receiver tight end flex. Kelce went next. And then, you know, I've gone in my foundation league the past few years. When someone takes Tyreek Hill, I take Kelce. And when someone takes Kelce, I take Hill. So in this case, Hill and Kelce were both gone. So I did take, and I found that based on mock draft data, that it was quite a value that in the seventh, with the seventh pick of the second round, I was able to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I'm not big on drafting rookies high and penciling them in as starters, but this seems sensible, especially with Damian Williams opting out of the 2020 season. And simply based on the status of Pat Mahomes and the stability of the Kansas City offense. So for those of you that are intrigued by Edwards-Helaire, yes, he is going early, and I felt his value, despite being a rookie, was simply too good to pass up on a big-time offense. So he's my RB2, and I took him in the seventh spot, 12-team draft, round two. Todd Gurley actually went next. A little stunned by the pick. Doesn't matter who made the pick. I hope it works out for this particular owner because he catered our draft. Austin Eckler went next. You see that, you know, much as we talked about last year, same with this year, kind of the that desperation of even if you have an RB1, do I have an RB2 or not? Someone I feel good about getting plenty of touches. And if I'm going to get him, I have to get him early. Kenny Golladay then went 10th in the second round, followed by Aaron Jones, a tremendous value, I think. Aaron Jones going with the 11th pick in the second round. Granted, Green Bay did draft A.J. Dillon, but as Roto World has referenced through some people that cover the Packers, this feeling that without the preseason games, there's a theory A.J. Dillon is nowhere close to being ready to being on the field for any sort of significant workload for maybe a month just because they haven't been able to work against opposing defenses. And then Chris Carson goes at the bottom of round two. Ironically, I'll just add it's a owner who has owned Carson before. There's no Seattle bias there. He's just owned Carson before. So he kind of knows, you know, what's good, what's bad. When he's on the field, he's good. The problem is it's bad because he can't seem to stay on the field. Round three went with Mike Evans at the top of that round, followed by Amari Cooper, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyler Lockett, George Kittle. You see the result of most owners now have one or two running backs, so they feel comfortable going with a pass catcher here. So the first, matter of fact, the first nine picks of our round three were pass catchers. Evans, Cooper, Juju, Lockett, Kittle. I grab Julio Jones with the sixth pick of the third round. I think I'm getting excellent value there. I have no confidence whatsoever that the Atlanta Falcons are a good team, but I see Matt Ryan, I see Julio Jones, and sure, we have dealt with whether you've owned Julio Jones or not in recent years, often prolonged stretches where he does not get in the end zone, but still for his overall talent, the stability of the Falcons, second year now under offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter, the prolific quarterback in Matt Ryan, knowing Jones is still the number one target and how he can crank out big yardage games, why not? Last year, Julio Jones went ninth in my draft. This year, I get him with the sixth pick in the third round, and our league went from 10 to 12. A.J. Brown went after him. Calvin Ridley from the Falcons goes next. Adam Thielen, we talked about Adam Thielen on the last podcast. I think he is a good play. Had Julio Jones not been there, I would have selected Thielen. James Conner went with the 10th pick in the third round, followed by Joe Mixon. I was tempted on Mixon as well, going running back, running back, running back, which I had done. Did I do that last year? No, I took Thielen, ironically, in the third round last year. That didn't work out because of the injury, a month or so into the season. He could never really come back from it. to give me sustained points. But 2 years ago, I went running back, running back, running back. I was tempted there because there seemed to be value on Joe Mixon, but I can't do it. And I know Mixon had some good games last year after a horrible start, but I just can't make the investment. If I was going to make an investment in a Bengal player, it would be later on a Tyler Boyd as a wide receiver three type. And I didn't get Boyd later on, but that's about the only investment I can make on the Bengals until I see what Burrow is going to do. And Odell Beckham Jr. Did complete round three for us. I'll just quickly run through rounds four, five, and six as fast as I can. Top of the fourth round was David Johnson. Speaking of now we're getting into falling names. David Johnson, a number one pick a year ago, fourth round this year. Russell Wilson then went third quarterback off the board, went second in the fourth round. The next pick, he admitted, was a homer play and a hunch. There went Gronk. He's going to go high, even in our league where you don't even need to touch a tight end. There's words off a pitch count in Tampa Bay on Gronk. But yeah, it's a homer pick. It's a Gronk pick. Even when Gronk was productive with the Patriots before his retirement, people wanted Gronk on their team because he's so popular. So it's only natural that now that he's back in the NFL, that he still is grabbed very high, higher than his overall value based on what he can give you on a week-to-week basis. Leonard Fournette went before we had the news on Monday of the Jacksonville Jaguars moving on from that son of a bitch. Cooper Kupp, despite leaving practice early, I believe it was on Friday or Saturday, Rams saying it wasn't a big deal. I would have loved to have had Cooper Kupp a couple of picks later, but he was selected with the fifth pick in round four. Melvin Gordon then went next. And then I was sort of at a crossroads with the next pick, and I didn't feel – I thought about taking DK Metcalf and getting my second wide receiver there since Cooper Kupp had disappeared. I like DK Metcalf a lot. I was still thinking about Lockett's presence with the Seahawks. You know, did I want a wide receiver too that was being selected as a wide receiver two on his own team? I like Metcalf more than Lockett. I just chose not to pull the trigger on Metcalf with the seventh pick in the fourth round. I also thought about Mark Ingram in that position because of the nature of the Ravens offense, but the Ravens have obviously brought in another running back in the mix to potentially take carries away from Ingram. So instead, I did take a chance on Le'Veon Bell here. I just thought the value and the risk was worth a potential reward with the Jets sort of hitting the reset button on the coach, on the quarterback, on the running back in New York. I understand it's not a good offensive line for Le'Veon Bell and that Adam Gase thinks very highly of Frank Gore. I still believe Le'Veon Bell's immensely talented. Every argument I made against Le'Veon Bell taking him in the first round last year, I stand by what I said last year, but I'm getting him in the fourth round. He is my third running back. If things work out for me, I don't need to play Le'Veon Bell. If Derrick Henry produces and Edward Zolaire also produces, I will not be playing Le'Veon Bell. And perhaps if Bell has a couple of good games to start, I'll flip Le'Veon Bell very early and just get rid of him. And who knows, the Jets might do the same thing. It can't be as bad as it was last year. And again, I'm not spending a first round pick here. I'm spending a fourth rounder. And I'm just hoping for some value from a very talented guy where things went pretty bad last year. So I took him. Followed by Deshaun Watson. There's your fourth quarterback off the board. Then Mark Ingram went. Then Jonathan Taylor went, the rookie for the Indianapolis Colts, followed by Keenan Allen and DK Metcalf. I would have felt better about Keenan Allen, and I've had a love-hate relationship with Keenan Allen for many years as a between-the-20s wide receiver who last year did start getting into the end zone much more, but now we have no idea who the Chargers are going to have throwing the ball to him. Round five started with David Montgomery, running back for the Bears, followed by Mark Andrews, highly valued tight end this year, sort of cracking into that top few. We went before Ertz in our draft just because of all the touchdowns he hauled in from Lamar Jackson a year ago. Will Fuller then went next, third pick of round five. Remember, we are a 12-team league. Then Zach Ertz, then Devin Singletary. And then I took my quarterback next, so I took, the fifth quarterback off the board. I'm very comfortable owning Dak Prescott. The Dallas Cowboy offense was very productive last year. Prescott is still playing for his next contract. He still has Ezekiel Elliott. He still has Amari Cooper. He adds CeeDee Lamb. Michael Gallup and him can connect on some plays in the corner of the end zone. Blake Jarwin reportedly has had a good camp. I feel comfortable that Prescott will put up very good numbers for me. Admittedly, not the rushing numbers that you're going to get that I didn't want to spend with a Lamar Jackson, or in this case, a Russell Wilson, who I've owned in the past. That was followed by Cortland Sutton. Cam Akers went eighth in round five. I would have loved to have owned Cam Akers. I think he went a little earlier than So I didn't consider him. Yeah, I didn't want to take Cam Akers in round four. That's too much. We keep hearing about split time with Henderson with the Rams, and there's still some things that Akers has to learn. But Akers going eighth pick of round five, followed by Kareem Hunt, then Jarvis Landry, then rookie DeAndre Swift, and then Ronald Jones. You see people getting extra running backs in the fifth round. And then we'll do one more round here. Round six started with DJ Moore. That's a pretty good value there. I thought about taking DJ Moore and not Dak Prescott. If I felt I could have gotten Dak Prescott a round later, I likely would have done it, but I wanted the quarterback of a top five offense, and I feel I got that with Dak. DJ Moore was very good to me when I picked him up off waivers late in the season in one of my leagues, but there are some changes in Carolina. We do have a new head coach, and we do have a new quarterback. That was followed by T.Y. Hilton. Speaking of new quarterbacks, he has Phillip Rivers throwing to him, then Kerryon Johnson, then Allen Robinson. Again, don't know who's going to throw to him. Bears won't say. Drew Brees went next, so he was the sixth quarterback off the board, followed by A.J. Green. Then I was in a position with the seventh pick of round six. At this point, I've got my quarterback. I've got three running backs. I've got Julio Jones. I do need another pass catcher. And in this spot, I went with Robert Woods. And I understand the limitations of Jared Goff, but I also respect the offensive mind of Coach McVay. And Robert Woods is the clear number one guy. Granted, Cooper Kupp gets drafted number one, but Kupp sort of plays a different type position. I'm comfortable with Woods in the Ram offense, and that there's enough there to go around, and especially since they basically have essentially two rookie running backs, I still think the Rams are going to be throwing the ball. Higby did a great job at the back half of last season as a tight end, but Woods is still there, and I wanted a piece of that Ram offense. Marquise Brown went after that. DJ Chark went after that, who I owned last year, was very happy with. Then Mostert went 10th in the sixth round. Diggs went 11th in the sixth round. Now you're probably saying to me, why wouldn't I take Diggs? And then Marvin Jones Jr. went after that. I don't think Diggs is going to find Buffalo to his liking. Problems seem to follow Diggs. I'm not saying the Vikings don't have their issues. They always seem to load up and then fall short of reaching the ultimate goal. But I've owned Diggs in the past. He's been good for me. This move, changing teams, Josh Allen uses his legs pretty well. John Brown and Cole Beasley flashed at times last year. I just wasn't sold on it. If I had it to do again, would I take Marvin Jones Jr. instead of Robert Woods? Marvin Jones Jr. has terrific red zone ability. Maybe I would. Just admitting that, maybe I would take a Marvin Jones Jr. instead of a Robert Woods with Matt Stafford back healthy. He's the better quarterback than Jared Goff. But I also believe more in McVay than I do in who's calling the plays on the sideline for the Lions. So maybe if I had that to do again, and I openly admit it, perhaps I take Marvin Jones Jr. at the seventh spot in the sixth round where I took Robert Woods. But it's my second wide receiver. Again, Julio Jones is my first wide receiver. Just some other notes. Tom Brady in our draft, again, 12-team draft. As I call it, Todd Wright modernized standard scoring. Tom Brady went second in round seven. Kyler Murray went third in round seven. CeeDee Lamb went fifth in round seven. Now, just so you know kind of what my theory was, I wasn't thrilled with what I got at the wide receiver position for my wide receiver two. So then go out and get yourself a wide receiver three that you feel might be able to play in that wide receiver two slot. And I think we'd all agree, Deebo Samuel was a hell of a weapon for the San Francisco 49ers as the season went on last year. And he's going to get you some rushing yards. And Emmanuel Sanders isn't there anymore. He's in New Orleans. So I did pick Deebo Samuel in this with the sixth pick of round seven. Chose him over DeVante Parker just because, as great as DeVante Parker was near the end of 2019, what does it really mean for 2020? It was the first time in his career he had shown anything. He got paid, and now there are some more expectations on him and the Dolphins, and will it be Fitzmagic or will it be Tua? Just too much guesswork there for me to pull the trigger on Parker. I'll take Samuel on the better team, seeing what he's capable of in a shorter amount of time in the NFL than we've seen from Parker. Aaron Rodgers, he won seventh pick around seven. That could be very good value. It really could. Carson Wentz went ninth pick of round seven. The Patriots were going late. Sony Michel went 10th pick of round seven. And then I took Julian Edelman, seventh pick of round eight, based on Julian Edelman's not going to give up. And based on the routes he runs, he's going to be a pretty reliable target for what looks like Cam Newton. Whether the Patriots are good or not, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick. So if chances are, if the Patriots are focused on winning rather than just filling the space, and you know, I've talked about this on the Todd Wright podcast, if there was ever a year that Bill Belichick would want to just say, you know what, this season isn't going to be worth it, this would be it. But Cam Newton and Julian Edelman could have a connection. It could be a very easy connection for Newton to get rid of the ball to Julian Edelman based on the routes that he runs. Mentioned Emmanuel Sanders a little bit earlier. He went 11th pick of round eight. Zach Moss went second pick round nine. I would have loved to have owned Zach Moss. It's why I didn't want to own Devin Singletary this year. Big Ben, always the case, right? Generally, he's drafted as one of the last starting quarterbacks. This year, he was drafted as one of the earliest backup quarterbacks, and he went fourth pick round nine, just in front of Matt Ryan. And then I took Mecole Hardman with the sixth pick in round nine. Again, the Chiefs' theory, get a piece of that offense. Perhaps Hardman is a more consistent target this year for Patrick Mahomes than any wide receiver has been in recent years, not named Tyreek Hill or the wide receiver that is essentially Travis Kelce playing the outdated tight end position. All right, that's enough from my, not even a mock draft, an actual draft. Remember, you can email me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I'll have another draft to study for and to give you some information from coming up later in the week. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters, and we'll talk to you next time.